Wildcat fans, I'm sorry. John Calipari is failing Kentucky basketball in the transfer portal.
You are Locked On Kentucky, your daily podcast on the Kentucky Wildcats, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, what is going on, Big Blue Nation? Welcome on in to Locked On Kentucky, your daily Kentucky Wildcats podcast. I'm your host, Lance Dahl, writer for Sports Illustrated for various SEC-related things. But on this podcast, we take a dive into all things Kentucky athletics. On today's episode of Locked On Kentucky, we are going to be discussing Kentucky basketball's woes in the transfer portal. Yet another player has slipped away from the Wildcats' grasp. It's going to be a little bit of a rant today, so strap in. We're also, on the flip side, going to talk about something very positive in recruiting for Kentucky football. They landed a big-time commitment in Cutter Bully, the quarterback here in-state, actually. So we're going to dive into that later on in the show. Thank you so much for making Locked On Kentucky your first listen every single day. Want to remind everybody out there that we are free and available on all platforms. If you're watching on YouTube, would really appreciate it if you subscribe to the show. If you're listening on podcasts, would really enjoy it if you left a review. Let us know how you like the show. Follow along wherever you're listening there as well. So let's go ahead and get into it. Why are we talking about Kentucky basketball failing in the transfer portal today? Well, it has not officially happened yet, but according to Tristan Ferris, friend of the program, he tweeted out earlier today and said he was informed this morning that the Arizona staff believes Keyshawn Johnson is a done deal to Arizona. That is a guy Kentucky wanted, a disappointment to miss on him. If you don't know who Keyshawn Johnson is, if you've not been following along, Johnson is a transfer forward from San Diego State who I said would be a perfect fit for Kentucky's roster this year. Why? Well, they are not looking for a starting power forward. They're not looking for a starting wing or a starting shooting guard or a starting point guard. They're looking for backups. They're looking for depth pieces, particularly in the front court, especially if Oscar Tshiebwe does not come back. I'm going to get to Oscar Tshiebwe in just a second. Kentucky found their guy. They found a guy that has, throughout his entire career, been a split time type of guy that has gone back and forth with another forward at San Diego State. He has been the better defensive player of the pairing there with SDSU, and last season he was a very valuable piece on their way to the national championship. Was really, really good during Brandon Miller in their game against Alabama, and he scored 14 points in the national title game. I mean, he was clutch whenever he needed to be. Keyshawn Johnson would have been a great, I mean, great pairing with Aaron Bradshaw at the four. But he's going to be able to move along to Arizona, apparently. Now, we noted here on the show after Johnson's visit to Kentucky, I felt pretty confident that Kentucky was going to land him. I thought that he would have been a perfect fit. I thought the NIL opportunities would have been great for him here as well. The potential of getting to a national title game, I think, is better at Kentucky than it is at Arizona. You can argue that all you want in the comments below. It doesn't really matter. Point being, Kentucky let another one slip away. This is only the second prospect, I would say, this offseason that Kentucky truly had a shot at, was truly interested in, and they just walked away for whatever reason it was. For Johnson, according to what some reports out there said, it was concern about playing time with the incoming freshman class. That's something that I've continued to harp on this show about concerns with transfer portal players or Oscar Tshiebwe coming back or whatever it may be with this roster. In relation to this is going to be a little bit different than the past couple of seasons. It's going to be what Kentucky has kind of done in previous years under Coach Cal, which is bring in a bunch of five-star talents and try and get them to play together. And sometimes it's difficult considering there are a lot of mouths to feed, typically, and this year is certainly no exception. You've got a very talented point guard in Rob Dillingham that's going to demand the ball, not just distributing, but also scoring. DJ Wagner is another high-profile guy as well. Justin Edwards, one of the better forwards, one of the better wings in this year's draft or class period, and will be one of the best wings in this year's draft class as well. Aaron Bradshaw, excellent, versatile big man that could play center elsewhere, is going to play the four here at Kentucky. They're going to, and Reed Sheppard, don't forget about him. He was a big-time volume scorer as a four-star guard in the state with Kentucky. So you've got five different players there that are going to demand the basketball. And sometimes it's difficult to manage egos. Sometimes it's difficult to manage that locker room. But that's what Cal's been doing for however long he's been in coaching, for the decades plus that he's been in this sport, understanding how to manage that. So that's his job. He's going to figure out how to do that, hopefully. And we'll see how that pans out. But in relation to what Kentucky wants to do in the transfer portal and what they want to do with Oscar Tshiebwe, which again, I'll get to him in a second, it's really, really tough to watch players that could come here and succeed be like, yeah, you've got too many mouths to feed in the room, I'm gonna go elsewhere. Now, this could be offset, potentially, by NIL opportunities that the Wildcats could present to players like Hunter Dickinson. And I'm not going to accuse the program of anything because I don't truly understand it as well as maybe some out there that are deeper in situations with the university that have better understanding than I do. But it does not really seem, and Kentucky has said as much, it doesn't really seem like Kentucky's in interested in getting into a bidding war with anybody for any sort of player. They're not interested in doling out a lot of money. Do they have that money? I would like to assume so, considering that this is one of, if not the best college basketball program in America. I would like to go out on a limb and say that, yeah, Kentucky's got some booster money that they could throw out to some of these kids if they wanted to get them committed. But they don't want to do that, and they've said as much publicly. Now, I could be wrong on that. Somebody could come in the comments and correct me and explain thoroughly why that's not true. But for Hunter Dickinson, NIL was clearly, he said it, a big part of where he was going to go. And whether or not that's a great thing is a conversation for another time. I don't have a strong opinion on it, so that's not what we're talking about here today. But it's the certain things that Kentucky lacks that they could have if they just put the effort in, and they aren't doing it. And the best part about this is it starts from the top down. It's not just one person that's holding everything up. It's everybody. It's Mitch Barnhart. It's John Calipari. It's all these different major figures that are clashing with each other in different ways, whether it be egotistical or whether it be financially. I don't know what the heck's going on in that athletic department. I just know Kentucky's wanted a basketball facility for quite some time, a new one, so that they can be state-of-the-art, continue to be the best program in America when it comes to collegiate basketball. Mitch Barnhart won't let that happen. We talked about it last summer. I'm kind of sick of it, frankly, at this point. I'm tired of Kentucky having all of this money and all of these resources and not doling it out whenever it's clear that they need to in order for either short-term success or long-term success. Because here's the issue. Let's look at the short-term here right now. Let's get into the Oscar Tshiebwe talk as well. Kentucky has 8 scholarship players on roster right now. They are about to hit June. They have 8. The best basketball program in the country has 8 basketball scholarship players. And the best part about that is one of them's a walk-on. So you've got 7 players on your roster heading into next year's season, and you just are praying that Oscar Tshiebwe comes back. You just hope that he's going to come back after being in the NBA draft. Now, there are reports out there that would like to tell you, hey, it's likely he's coming back. I would like to sit here and tell you, with no sort of hypothesis or educated guess, that he is coming back. That's just strictly based off of hope and what everyone else is saying. But the moment that Oscar Tshiebwe puts out that post that says, hey, I'm going to be staying in the NBA draft, I like my chances now, I've done good enough during the combine and the training or whatever the heck he's going on with right now. The moment he puts out that post, Kentucky is in a world of hurt, because they don't have a starting center next year. And on top of all of that, they missed out on so many different players. Jamarian Sharp, Keyshaw Johnson, Hunter Dickinson, the list goes on, that we probably don't know about, by the way. There are so many different players that the Wildcats have missed out on just so that they can hope, another player that's not going to perform as well as he has in years past comes back. And you can argue with that. You can say, well, Oscar Tshiebwe is still this, that, or the other. He's still a very talented rebounder. He's still a very talented scorer, but he's a terrible defensive player in the post, and he's not a high IQ guy. And I'm not saying he's stupid. I'm just saying that he's not as fluid with the game as some other prospects are. And so Kentucky has had the opportunity to go out and get better defensive talent and to get them in this program and to get them in that center spot. But they've not done it because they've got a center that they're just hoping comes back. And it'll be great if he comes back. By the way, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. But if he doesn't, you are going to hear me and you're going to hear yourself and you're going to hear everybody that has an opinion on Kentucky basketball complain and be frustrated with the way that this has been mismanaged for the rest of the summer. Until they tip that stuff off in November, everyone's going to be saying, why on earth did Kentucky basketball handle the transfer portal cycle this poorly? Why on earth did they miss out on all of these different prospects that they could have landed? They could have done it. It's not like the freshman class just prohibits all players in the transfer portal from coming and committing to the Wildcats. It's not like that's the case. You had opportunities and you whiffed or you walked away. Why? You're going to be asking that question if Oscar Tshiebwe does not come back to Kentucky basketball. If he does, you're still going to have questions about how this roster is going to be handled next season. You're still going to have those questions. If Antonio Reeves comes back, you're still going to be saying, man, I don't feel phenomenal about our depth at certain positions. I don't feel great about the fact that we only have 7 or 8 scholarship players that we can run in this rotation, which goes back to what I did an entire episode on about 2 weeks ago, which is the fact that Coach Cal, regardless of how much talent he has on his bench, regardless of how much talent that staff has, they're going to run a short rotation. Whenever things get serious, whenever that calendar hits March, they're going to run what they want to run, and they're not going to run a lengthy rotation. So we're going to sit here and continue to deal with the same stuff over and over and over and over and over again until somebody comes in here and adjusts it. And I'm sick and tired of watching the same thing happen over and over with the portal, with the scheme, with the philosophy. And it works to an extent, but it doesn't work to the level that Kentucky wants it to. And here's the kicker. Here's the kicker about this year's upcoming season. Expectations. Final four expectations. Tristan Ferris, who I completely agree with, says he expects Kentucky, regardless, to put out a Final Four product on that court. And he's not saying, I expect them to get to the Final Four. He's saying, I'm expecting that team to look like a Final Four caliber team. Now, things in the NCAA tournament may prohibit them from getting there, but he expects them, and I expect them, and I'm assuming you expect them to an extent, to be a good basketball team. Why is Kentucky continuously shooting themselves in the foot? It's like they don't want to be great. It's like they don't want to take the next step. It's as if they are so haughty in their approach to the game. And again, this is an outsider's perspective, so correct me if I'm wrong on this. It's so haughty in their approach to the game where it's just like, well, we're Kentucky. We don't have to play or pay players a certain amount. We've talked about that before on the show. We don't have to pay certain players or this amount of money to get them to come here. We're Kentucky, but the issue is some people have issues with your facilities. They're not up to date. They're not. Some people have issues with the fact that you won't pay kids enough. Those are your two things going against you. And on top of all of this, you've got the offset of, well, they still get players to the NBA. Well, they still do this, that, and the other. Well, they do X, Y, and Z. I want you to take a close look at the last 3 years of players that Kentucky has gotten into the NBA draft. And I know that it's been a very short-lived period of time. But that prospect, that sleeper guard, that talented big man, that elite wing, you know, those are not the prospects that Kentucky's spinning out there anymore. In fact, these past couple of seasons, the roster has been littered with a bunch of graduate transfers that aren't going to make it to the NBA, a bunch of senior players that aren't going to make it to the league that are good for you in college. And some people like that, some people don't. That's a conversation for another episode. if this year's roster doesn't do it, if this year's roster does not make minimum an Elite Eight run, and whenever I say run, I mean they could lose in the round of sweet 16. They could lose in the Sweet 16 and it'd be close. But if they don't make that run, there are going to be a lot of people upset, including myself. There are some people out there that think that Calipari is not going to finish his contract here. Calipari said he wants to. Calipari said he's going to. We'll have to see what happens. But regardless, right now, the fan base should be upset. I'm upset. I'm frustrated. How have you not landed somebody? You haven't landed one portal player. And there's not just like 30 or 40. There's hundreds. There's hundreds. Get one. Get one that fits, because there's more than one out there. If you have any thoughts on that, if you have any thoughts on what Kentucky basketball is doing in the transfer portal right now, you can leave that in the YouTube comments below, because I am frustrated. And who knows? Maybe once the grad transfer cycle hits, Kentucky gets a couple of those guys. But again, is that what Kentucky needs to win a national title? I don't know. I mean, they'd certainly need experience. Don't get me wrong. They need that experience, but it's just they're not doing what they should that other programs are doing and are succeeding with. And I don't really get it. So YouTube comments at LockedOnUK on Twitter if you've got any thoughts on that. Let's switch to a significantly more positive topic, because Kentucky football picked up arguably one of their biggest recruits of all time in Cutter Bowley. And I want to discuss what this could mean for the Wildcats in the upcoming, well, gosh, not this season, but next season, even potentially. Before we get to that, though, want to tell you guys about our friends over at Bird Dogs. Bird Dogs is a new sponsor of the show. They have been really, really comfortable shorts and pants that I've been able to wear over the past week or so. They sent me a couple of different pairs of different things. I'm not wearing the shorts right now, but I will be wearing them tomorrow as I go to an Atlanta Braves game. That'll be part of my fit for tomorrow afternoon. They are very comfortable athletic wear, but on top of that, they can function as maybe some work meeting pants. Maybe they can be something that you wear to the beach, something that you can wear to go get groceries. They really do fit with a lot of different outfits. They're very, very comfortable. They've got this compression lining on the inside that's a really complementary color to whatever's on the outside. So I had these really nice, like, powder blue colored shorts that they sent me that on the inside had this nice coral lining, very beachy, very fun. I love stuff like that. You also have, like, these gray pair that I have on the inside. It's got, like, this lighter blue colored compression lining. All very, again, comfortable, breathable. Whatever buzzword you may want to use, you may think it's a joke, you may think it's part of a read or whatever. I'm serious. Bird Dogs are some of right now already some of the best shorts that I've owned here in a long time. So I would encourage you guys to go check them out. If you go to birddogs.com/lockedoncollege, enter promo code LockedOnCollege, you can get a free custom Bird Dogs Yeti style tumbler with every single order that you make. So again, birddogs.com/lockedoncollege, enter promo code LockedOnCollege, a free custom Bird Dogs Yeti tumbler with every single order. Thank you so much to Bird Dogs for sponsoring today's episode. All right, continuing along here on the Friday edition of Locked On Kentucky, Lance Dahl hanging out here with you. If you have not checked out the Locked On College Basketball podcast with Andy Patton and Isaac Shade, as I've said in the past, you know, as a disappointed parent, I'm not mad. I am, in fact, just disappointed in you. You can get them wherever you listen to your podcast. Again, just search up Locked On College Basketball. If you're listening on YouTube, you can go to that search bar right now. I prefer if you do it, you do it after you hear what we got to talk about with Cutter Bowley, but Locked On College Basketball, Patton, Shade, excellent job. They have experts on, they have me on. To kind of give you some insight on what's going on in the world of college basketball. As a Kentucky fan, you should stay educated with what's going on in the college basketball sphere, and there's no better place to do it. So check them out today. Cutter Bowley is a four-star quarterback that is officially committed to the Kentucky Wildcats. A couple of places have him listed as a five-star. According to the 24/7 Sports composite rankings, he is a high four-star, the number 72 prospect nationally, sixth best quarterback in the 2025 cycle, and the number one player in the state of Kentucky. First thing I want to mention here, he has actually reclassified to the 2024 recruiting class, so he will be coming in next season. That's exciting. That's very exciting considering Kentucky basketballs, Kentucky football's quarterback situation. So Devin Leary comes in, transfer from NC State. He's going to be a grad transfer guy. He's going to get 1 year, one shot, one opportunity. Shout out Eminem to kind of lead this offense. And then next year, you've got a battle. And I think Cutter Bowley is going to solidify himself in that number one spot. It's just a long, long, long-term projection. Because of what this kid is coming out of high school, 6'5", 203 pounds, very solid pro-style quarterback, exactly what Liam Cohen wants for his system, for his passing game. I'm going to read here what Director of Scouting Andrew Ivins has to say about him in terms of what he's seen out of him scouting-wise. Andrew said, a pro-style passer with elite size that can do plenty of damage while working off play action. Again, this goes back to, would be excellent in Liam Cohen's system. The type of quarterback that's not afraid to fling strikes right into the teeth of a defense, as he can create plenty of velocity with his lower release point and attack the short to intermediate parts of the field, can be rather crafty in the pocket for someone that's 6'5", and will do his best to improvise while keeping his eyes downfield. Dealt with an injury in 2022, but still threw close to 4,000 yards in only 13 games. However, he must cut down on mistakes and learn how to protect the football, as he's thrown north of 20 interceptions at the varsity level. Will also likely need to get better at anticipating blitzes and reading coverages after playing a lower level of competition. Older for his grade after reclassifying in the wake of global pandemic, and will turn 18 in the summer of 2023. Overall, should be viewed as a developmental arm with ideal measurements that will have a chance to win games on Saturdays and maybe even Sundays if he takes to coaching and keeps progressing. So somebody that Kentucky can work on for a few seasons. Not saying he's Josh Allen, not saying he's Matt Stafford, not saying he's this, that, or the other, whatever, you know, pro-style quarterback you want to compare him to in the NBA or in the NFL. Wow, I am really mixed with my basketball and football right now. It's the NBA finals, or not the finals. It's the conference finals, I should say. Basketball's on the mind. But Cutter Bowley is an exciting prospect for Kentucky for the two main reasons that we've already discussed. He is a very high-profile quarterback that's going to draw more attention to the Wildcats and therefore get more recruits in, maybe some tight ends, maybe some receivers that are visiting on campus, by the way. I'm going to point that out. Get in some players that can work around him, some more high-profile talent that Mark Stoops and Liam Cohen can work with. So that's a great thing. And the second thing here is I think that he's a scheme fit. I think that Liam Cohen is going to be able to work with Cutter Bowley and get him developed. Now, that's what 24/7 says. Can he stay developing? Can he take to some of this coaching that he's going to get at the next level? And can he learn? And I think that Liam Cohen is going to be able to slot him in and work him in very nicely into the 2024 offense. And when you think about what that offense is going to look like here for a second, you start to project out what that receiving core is going to look like. If Dane Key and Berrian Brown are heading into their junior seasons working with a freshman quarterback, look, it's not going to be the most perfect offense in the world, I don't think, but man, that should be a lot of fun. That should be great to have some very experienced receivers on the outside, or at least one, if one of them goes to the draft and the other one doesn't. You can have some very solid experience on the perimeter that you can throw the ball downfield to. And then, like it said, the scouting report said, and you can see this on the tape as well, he's just really not afraid to challenge defensive backs and to challenge tight windows. And you see the precision in his tape, certainly, as a very sturdy, strong quarterback. So getting him to the next level to kind of polish himself a little bit again, like 24/7 said again, raw, whenever you watch his tape. But if he's able to develop into the next level, he can be something really special for the Kentucky Wildcats. So if you've got any thoughts on that, if you've got any thoughts on Cutter Bowley committing to the Wildcats, you can leave that in the YouTube comments below. I think that's going to do it for today's episode of Locked On Kentucky. You can follow the show on Twitter at LockedOnUK. You can follow me on Twitter at LanceDahl_, and you can follow the show over on Instagram. That is at Kentucky Podcast. Questions, comments, concerns, leave them in the YouTube comments below. Hit me on the socials. I will see you all on Monday for another episode of Locked On Kentucky. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day, and God bless.